When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
Score North Extra Innings, Declan Goff, Ross Brendel coming at you on a Sunday afternoon as the Minnesota Twins have crawled back from the dead. They have gotten out of baseball hell. They didn't get all the way fully in baseball hell, as I told Ross like 3 weeks ago on this date. But the Twins are red hot. They haven't lost a game in almost a week, which has been phenomenal. They're back to 500. They were 6-12 at one point. We are recording this before the series finale against the Angels, but regardless, a series win has already taken place against those Angels, so that is a good sign. And I know they've beaten up on some very bad teams in the White Sox. And by the way, you will get the Tommy Pham era White Sox on Monday, who are 2-0 in the Tommy Pham era. So don't write off the White Sox quite yet as the pushovers that they have been. But regardless, Ross, the Twins have kind of come alive a little bit here, even against some inferior teams. And for me, Ross, that's what I want to see happen. I still get notes of like, what, you haven't learned anything about this team. They're beating up bad teams. Good. Shouldn't they beat up on the really bad teams? And even with the Twins getting off to a slow start, I think you should beat up on some of the worst teams in baseball. And they've been able to do that so far over the last week.
Well, and we kind of talked about this, Declan, where we both expected this team to come around a bit at some point. I was, naturally a bit more panicked than you, but I still expected them to come around and play good baseball and compete in the division at some point, which they're starting to do. And I don't really think it matters who the opponent is, because the opposite of getting six wins in a row against the White Sox and the Angels is, what if the Twins went 3-3 in that six-game stretch? Then the sky is still falling and everybody's upset. Have we really learned a ton? I don't think so, but I think what we've learned is the Twins are not, they're not a bottom feeder. They're not going to be a bottom feeder. The Twins were playing bad for 2-3 weeks to start the season. That doesn't mean they are a bad team. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this, Declan. If they could just survive this month, I think we did one where you titled it, "Can the Twins Avoid the Depths of Baseball Hell?" or something like that. Well, the schedule has allowed them to do that, and I get it. Nobody's going to throw a parade for beating the White Sox and the Angels, but kudos to the team for getting those wins, and you hope that that gets the guys playing better. When you play some of these better teams, they're feeling better about themselves, and Declan, I'm sure you'll touch on this. They'll be getting guys back shortly. Duran will be back. Topo will be back. Eventually, we expect to get Carlos Correa and Royce Lewis back. That will only help this team. And again, people, Declan, I saw in the comments, I was just getting shredded for saying I want this team to be within five games of first place on June 1st. That's a loser mentality. You play 162 baseball games.
Yeah.
Just stay in the mix. Set yourself up. And this, it's not like this was a super healthy team that was playing poorly to start the year. You can only play with the hand that you're dealt. And right now, the hand that's being dealt to the Twins is playing teams that are more inferior than they are. And to this point, they're doing a nice job. So kudos to them for getting those wins.
Yeah, I mean, look, the teams that they got their butts kicked against in Baltimore and the Dodgers are potentially two of the best teams in baseball. And I will say, even though I kind of said, what else did you expect? Yeah, the Twins still, even with this great win streak that they're on, they are not on the Birds level or the Dodgers level, and we knew that after those series, but they have kind of crawled back to relevancy here, and they are 5.5 games back. They were 8 games back at one point in this division. Cleveland's still remaining a good team. They've split so far against a really good Braves team. They're going to wrap up their series with Atlanta on Sunday, just like the Twins are wrapping up their series against the Angels. But I will say what is encouraging to me, Ross, is the offense has come alive a little bit here. Even, again, against inferior pitching and against inferior teams, over the last week, the Twins have the best OPS in baseball. Like, they've went from one of the worst offenses in the league to, over the last 7 days, the best OPS in baseball. No one else has a better offense than the Twins over the last week, and that's guys like Edward Julian, who has kind of moved down to the two-hole. That has woken him up. Trevor Larnach, since he's being called up, might be their best hitter over the last week. And even the guys that have been struggling, for God's sakes, Carlos Santana, we talk about guys that have come back from the dead.
He lives.
He is. I mean, he's been Frankenstein back to life here. He's hitting .304 over the last week. He's got some home run power to him. His defense, I think, was a big reason why they actually ended up signing him and have still played him a lot regardless. So there's been guys here that have kind of woken back up. And when you have 7 players, which I did some of the math here, St. Cloud State math, that is, over the last week, 7 of them have OPS over 1,000. So this isn't just like one or two guys that have popped up and have carried the offense. It's been a collective effort. They scored double-digit runs yesterday against a bad Angels team, but that is still a good sign. So I think we are learning, yes, the offense is not going to be the worst offense, which it looked like was going to be one of the worst offenses in Twins history, if maybe even baseball history, like it was in the first 2 weeks of the year. You have a pretty good offense here that is now finally, I think, starting to click and not having to swing out of your shoes, which I believe is what Rocco Baldelli has really wanted to preach and really wanted to see after the slow start.
And I think we know no matter what, this team is going to strike out. But can you get it down to a manageable number per game? You know, can you get it down to 6 to 8 times per game versus 13 to 15, like we were seeing the first few weeks of the season? Declan, you talked about that offense and that it was a collective effort. Well, 4 guys that come to my mind right away, 2 of them speak to the organizational depth, at least in the lineup offensive side. Jose Miranda comes up. He looks about as comfortable right now as he did a few years ago when everybody was expecting him to break out. Austin Martin should probably never spend another day back in the minors. You're going to have to just find a way to keep him on the roster and keep him in the lineup as often as possible, because he can do so many things for you. And Declan, I don't even think we've started to scratch the surface on what he can do as a base runner late in games, as substitution, stealing bases for you. And then you mentioned the veterans. It's a very small sample size. You know, we talked late last week that I felt bad for Kyle Farmer. He just had no chance at getting a hit. Well, he's at least started to show some signs of life the last few days. And Carlos Santana, he said it himself, guys, be patient. I never hit well in April. Now, I think when you look at somebody's numbers in April and then they're about twice as worse as they normally are, there can be some cause for panic, but it seems like he's waking up a little bit. And the entire team, Declan, just putting together more professional at-bats, it's okay to strike out. It's okay to get out. But do the best to extend at bats and put the ball in play. And again, I get it, more inferior teams, but it's been better the last week or so. And let that carry over into playing better teams. But Declan, early on this week, there's still some meat on the bone. Go get 2 out of 3 from the White Sox. I don't care who you play. I don't ever command that you sweep a team, but you should still take 2 out of 3 from the White Sox.
Yeah, I lit out the 9-4 plan going into last weekend series against the Tigers, and so far that is actually ahead of schedule to a degree.
Yes,
that
it
was
is.
That plan was to get you to .500 by the time the Red Sox come to Target Field next weekend, and so far you are ahead of schedule on that. We'll see how these last 4 games play out. But you know, you mentioned even philosophy of, you know, taking better at bats and working counts and not having to swing, again, out of your shoes. And that's something that I have noticed, too. Like yesterday, Trevor Larnach, who has had about 4 different opportunities here to be an everyday big leaguer, and looks like over the last week he's finally taken the opportunity and running with it. He has a lefty-on-lefty at-bat, which, you know, historically and statistically, that's going to be always advantage pitcher. He works about a 5-6 pitch at-bat and just goes the other way up the middle, which is very difficult to do lefty-on-lefty. It's those little things. It's not... Yes, we always chicks dig the long ball. Everyone knows that. But at the end of the day, the manager and the team, they want to see you just have a competitive AB in those situations. And those that type of hitting is phenomenal. Those are the good signs you want to see. It's not running into baseballs. I know Edward Julian has a great power streak, and actually I'm really excited that he has kind of woken up here in the two hole, and he's been in the blender, as Racco Baldelli said, and he has a lot of power to the other way. But it's guys taking those competitive at-bats, in my opinion, that is the good sign of turning things around. Like, that is if you can take at-bats like that, even Byron Buxton, who's been red hot over the last few weeks too, if you can take competitive at-bats like that, I think those are the better signs than just going on a power display and you know, putting a bunch of home runs up. These are legitimate at-bats the Twins are taking.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Yeah, and we talked about this too, Declan. Sometimes it's as simple as when you talk about not swinging out of your shoes, just going with the pitch. If you're a right-handed hitter, dump the ball into right field. And we've seen it over the last 7 to 10 days quite often, Declan. You know, early in the year, the Twins were just getting, I don't know, death by a thousand paper cuts, especially against the Guardians, who were just putting the ball in play, and the Tigers as well. And you would hear occasionally from broadcast crews about how frustrating that is, and the Twins are doing the right things, but they're not seeing the results. And the comeback was, well, you can do those things too, right? You could put the ball in play. You can make contact. We've seen that. The Twins are scoring unearned runs because of putting the ball in play, moving runners over. Your point, Declan, chicks dig the long ball. Nobody digs a sack fly, but guess what? They win baseball games. And we've seen that return to the Twins' arsenal. And they've been better with runners in scoring position. It's still not great. The team overall, I think, is still relying far too much on solo home runs. It was nice to see a home run last night that had a few guys come ahead of the person who swung the bat. That's always nice. But overall, Declan, I think at the beginning of the year, I think I told you, I don't really know what the division's going to look like. I think it's going to be better. I actually thought two teams might come out of this division into the playoffs, and that still might happen. But if you can just, no matter who you are, get to May 1st, right around 500, and not bury yourself, I don't think anybody thought they'd be, a handful of days away from May 1st and be 5.5 out. But I wouldn't classify that as buried with 5 months to go and still a bunch of divisional games. So overall, I don't want to say I'm ecstatic with where the Twins are at, but if you rewind 10 days, I think you got to feel pretty good knowing that help is on the horizon.
Yeah, well, I'll get into some injury updates here in just a sec. But on the division front, I think we all expected the Twins to run away with it. And a lot of the pundits and everyone offseason speculation, everyone figured the Twins would be the favorites. It's not going to be a division, I think, that has multiple 90-win winners. That's still going to be the case, even with Cleveland off to a really good start. Kansas City has still, I know everyone laughed at KC for spending a lot of money on kind of second to third tier free agents. Well, it's worked for them. They're definitely a competitive team again. And now here come the Twins back to 500. So it's going to be, I think, collectively a better division. I still think that 87, 88 wins, which I believe is what the Twins had last year, that's probably still the ceiling of what the division is probably going to look like from a winner standpoint. But it's going to be a much more tighter race than obviously it was last year, where outside of the White Sox right now, I mean, you really can't count the Tigers out from winning this division. I don't count them as like serious threats by any means, but there's four teams that are still within striking distance of potentially being a playoff team. I don't know if, they'll get a wild card out. I know you expect that could still happen for sure, but it's going to be a much more competitive division than I think we all thought, which is good. I don't want the Twins to just kind of defaultly get into first place, kind of like they did last year, where they were just basically stumbling to 500 pre-All-Star break, but they had a 5.5 division game lead because the rest of the division was so bad.
Well, and I think I'm interested to see what Cleveland is doing, how sustainable it really is, because I don't know if their pitching depth can hold up for 6 months. And if you assume that Cleveland's going to slow up a little bit, well, then in my opinion, again, you're assuming a lot here, but if the Twins get healthy or fairly healthy, I still believe it's probably the Twins' division to lose. Yep. I mean, you just, and to your point, absolutely, you start to look around. I think the Tigers are better. At the beginning of the year, I thought if the Twins didn't win the division, it would probably be the Tigers. I like their young core. I like what they did in the offseason. I did, actually. I thought with the Royals' offseason plan, I thought it was actually a good plan. It's a team that's loaded with young talent, so why not supplement it a little bit with maybe some veteran talent that probably isn't going to win you a ton of games, but they're going to teach the young kids how to win games, how to go about being a professional. So I actually think the state of this division is pretty good. To your point, Declan, maybe it's not two teams that are going to win 90-plus games. Maybe I overvalued the division from that sense. But there's nobody in this division outside of Chicago right now who's a pushover. And by the way, as the season goes on, Chicago probably is not going to win only 5 of 30 games. That number's probably going to get better as the season goes on. So you still have to show up and play these games and put forth good efforts, both pitching and defense and hitting, and let's hope the Twins continue to do that.
Yeah, watch out for the Tommy Pham era and the White Sox, baby. They're undefeated. They're 2-0 with Tommy Pham going for a sweep in Tampa Bay today. So
your guy, we'll G, because I can never get his last name correct. I just always call him G for the White Sox before he was canned. They never did him any favors. Some guys, I think you get the job, and I think you walk into it knowing you're going to be a fall guy eventually, but you'll at least cash the paycheck. I mean, that they didn't do him a ton of favors, and then they also came out of the gates injured, and then you trade, what, your if not your best starter, your best player days before the season starts. I mean, that doesn't send a great message to the clubhouse either.
I think on ESPN, you know, like when you look at the schedule, they'll tell you, you know, the pitching matchup start time, and then there's also like a tab for, you know, StubHub for tickets. I'm pretty sure the tickets are like $2 at guaranteed rate field right now to go watch the White Sox and Twins. So they will be lucky to probably get 5,000 fans in there. They'll be lucky for that to happen.
When do we open the level, the third level back up at Target Field? Has it been opened or are we waiting till May 1st?
I think they might be waiting until June 1st.
Oh.
They've had it closed since
for those
the
of us who
weekend.
Like to play the StubHub game.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that being said, you can probably still get in there pretty decently. Oh, yeah. But I think they might be waiting until June 1st. I forget what they're going to do with the upper deck there at Target Field. Injury updates. So, we did tease this a little bit. So, Justin Topa, Yoan Duran are still at AAA St. Paul. Topa will pitch today in the series finale for the St. Paul Saints. So, he pitched on Thursday. He struck out a few batters. He looked solid. So Justin Topa will pitch on Sunday for a second rehab appearance. Duran pitched last night for the St. Paul Saints. The fastball and the sinker, fastball and the cutter was basically up in the triple digits for him. So people were a little concerned after the first rehab outing because he was still, and when I say concerned, he was sitting only at 99 and not at the 102, 103, 101 that we've kind of been accustomed to seeing from him. Well, and I have heard the CHS radar gun runs a little hotter than normal, so hard to get a true gauge of really where Duran's at velocity-wise, but regardless, he struck out two yesterday. He looks strong. I don't know if they'll give him another rehab assignment game. He might be joining the Twins potentially in Chicago. And then Carlos Correa, who took BP yesterday. He's been taking grounders. And, you know, when you get to the stage at some point in careers where you can just say, I don't need to go down to AAA. I don't need a rehab assignment. Carlos Correa is one of those players. I would bet pretty good money. I don't have any inside intel on this, by the way. I would bet he's activated tomorrow against Chicago, if not some point during the series. Sounds like Carlos Correa will likely be back. I would assume that would mean Jose Miranda probably goes back to St. Paul. I would not want to see Austin Martin return to St. Paul, and it just makes, I think, too much sense to just give out or just to send out Jose Miranda, who can only play third and some first base. You put Carlos Correa back at shortstop. Some injury updates. I would assume Duran, Topa, we'll kind of wait and see. They're not like itching to get bullpen help either. They could be activated in the Chicago series. I wouldn't be shocked by that. But both those guys are on their return to the Twins, and I would just assume, not reporting, just assume Carlos Correa is probably back with the Twins tomorrow for game one against the White Sox.
On Miranda, you feel slightly bad for him because he has come up and done a pretty decent job, but to your point, Declan, there's only so many different places he can play where Austin Martin can move around and be in so many different places for you. So I think that's probably a decision right there. And on the rehab assignment, when it comes to Carlos Correa, where I think you're right is he doesn't need to come up and really hit right away. But if he struggles, you still know you have that glove there defensively and that you should be fine there. And he can have a few days of maybe knocking off a little bit.
Might be losing Ross Brenn a little bit. I'm going to put Ross in timeout as he gets his internet connection figured out. But Ross was basically trying to say two similar things of where, you know, Austin Martin, you know, you don't want to move him down. Jose Miranda, he, I think, has played admirably. I wouldn't be super bummed out that he's kind of the victim of the roster crunch here. The bullpen one's, in my opinion, a lot more interesting because it has been pretty solid. So I genuinely am a little, not perplexed, but kind of up in the air of what they are going to end up doing there in the bullpen, because Topa and Duran obviously were supposed to be going into the season as two top options in that bullpen. So there will be some difficult decision when both of them come back to the active roster with the Twins. We'll see who ends up kind of falling through the wayside, if that's a send down, if that's maybe a DFA or two of maybe one of these veteran relief pitchers. Not 100% sure on that quite yet, but yeah, Duran's on the way back. Topa's on the way back. Carlos Correa, the heartbeat there, will be back at shortstop and batting in the middle of the order for the Twins. So all good signs. Let's see if Ross is back here. Ross, we okay?
Am I back?
Are we losing Ross?
Maybe.
I think you're back.
Boo.
Might have to. I think you're a little blurry, Ross, but I think your audio's okay. There we go. You're back.
Well,
I
think the blurry's good for most people. I look better blurry than I do in high definition. Apologies on that for cutting out, but okay. I think you were able to catch my point and summed it up pretty well, that Martin can just continue to do more things for you, where Miranda's a little bit more limited, so he's the logical choice to be sent down.
All right, Ross, when we would do extra innings, he always has some fun. We talked Cracker Jacks like last week at the ballpark, and he teased before we hit the mics today that he has another kind of off-the-wall question for me, so... Now that his internet is indeed back, Ross, what is this off-the-wall question for me here?
Okay, so I will always hear names throughout baseball, especially when it comes to umpires, where they might stink at being an umpire, but you love the name, and you get to see the names every day, right, in the lineup card. Better names than Laz Diaz and Chris Guccione. Go.
That the umpires?
Do they have the umpires. Just umps. God. Umps. Do you have any off the top of your head? And I know there's more. Hunter Wendelstedt's a great name. Like,
that's
there's
a good umpire name.
There's some great umpire names. But, you know, Laz Diaz, who I don't think is a very great umpire, it's a great name. C.B. Buckner, like, that's a good name. You can look him up, too. But that's my quick hitter for today. Better umpire names. Do you have any off the top of your head?
So... I'm trying to remember his actual name because when the St. Paul Saints were in the American Association, I interned with them for 2 years, and I forget the name of this umpire, but one of my duties was at the beginning of each series, I had to go down to the little umpire room, which, oh, God, this little tiny office at Midway Stadium where these poor guys had to get dressed, three of them in a closet, basically. I had to go obviously down there to get the umpire names for the exact what you're talking about, for the lineup card and for the media relations and stuff too. And I forget who it was, but this umpire who had a very deep, booming, low baritone voice, and he would work numerous series with the Saints. But when I'd ask for names, he'd always say James Earl Jones as a joke because he literally sounded exactly like Darth Vader. And I'm now blanking on what his actual name was, but I always found that absolutely hilarious that he always say his name was James Earl Jones. I mean, I do think the umpire union is so GD strong. It's ridiculous how strong it is. And these guys have to be held. That's what pisses me off, is like referees and umpires are not held accountable. When guys throw a hissy fit on the field, which sometimes it's warranted, maybe sometimes it's overreacting, they're fined. They're reprimanded for that. There's no penalty, at least that we know of, publicly for referees and umpires. And I think that is complete BS. Everyone should be held accountable. Why aren't they?
The only penalty, Declan, that they ever get is occasionally the league will admit that they made a bad call publicly. Yeah. That's it. You know, but there's no, like, you're not suspended for a game because of negligence at your job. You're not fined like players are. And oftentimes, it might have even been Wendelstedt. Did you see Aaron Boone get ejected earlier this week where I think it was Wendelstedt told him, don't say another word or you're gone? Yeah. Well, somebody behind Aaron, I mean, there's the cameras on Boone. He never says another word. Well, Wendelstedt hears something and tosses him. You know, these guys half the time are instigating it, too, in the game of baseball, and they get nothing for it. I don't even know how you fix that, because I think MLB is between a rock and a hard place, because especially in Major League Baseball, you mentioned just how strong the union is. If the union wasn't so strong, people like C.B. Buckner wouldn't have jobs, because they're just really not good at what they do. And I think that that's something at some point that has to be addressed, but I don't think you can. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a tough spot for them. I don't think we're going to get... I know robot umps are around in the minor leagues. I think we're far away from that just because of how strong the umpire union is in Major League Baseball. But they're I just want accountability. That's all I want. It sucks being an umpire, by the way. Like, I'm not trying to say it's easy because, like, you're watching guys that are throwing 95 miles an hour. They're throwing harder than ever. They're throwing things all over the plate. They're doing the best they absolutely can. But at the end of the day, like, how come, there is no accountability when there's a massive screw-up, and when a player screws up and he's ejected and fined, that's okay if an umpire screwed up. That's what always has always just pissed me off about the whole thing.
Do you think, very quickly in closing here, do you think there's middle ground on robot umps versus keeping the real umps? Because I'll admit, when it comes to baseball, I'm still really old school. I still have not come around on the ghost runner. I don't 100% dislike it, but I don't love it. I never want to see seven-inning doubleheaders again. I think you're opposite of me, which is totally fine. Hey, Declan, in today's day and age, people can disagree on things and still be friends. How crazy is that? But I do wonder, I love the subjectivity of a strike zone as long as it's fair on both sides. What I don't like, and I don't think umpires do it intentionally, but I don't like when a pitch 6 inches outside is a strike one time and then you go right back to that same spot and it's a ball. Right? If it's as wide as the ocean, but it's as wide as the ocean for both teams, I don't care. I get upset at the inconsistency, and that's where I wonder where at some point can you just have a challenge system or X amount of overrides. I don't even know what it would look like, but I don't think I ever truly want to lose the subjectivity and the objectivity of a strike zone. I think that that's kind of fun. It's unique to the game of baseball, and I don't want to lose that, but I do believe with each passing day and year, I'm definitely in the minority on that.
Yeah, I think we're still far away from Major League Baseball getting them. But umpiring stinks. Like I did it in Little League a ton, and it's fun side money, and I actually like kind of enjoyed doing it. But I would hate to be, and also these umpires, which there's an umpire kind of associate, if you will, like kind of at every home game at Target Field that kind of sits pretty close to me in the press box. And, you know, a lot of these umpires are like paying for their own flights. They get per diem each day and they got to figure out how they're going to get, this is not like Major League Baseball putting, you know, CB Buckner on first class and he has just a first class seat from, you know, Minnesota to LA. These guys are finding out all this information and finding out all their booking just on their own. And that would also stink of it. You would think if you're Major League Baseball, like you kind of have a good structure here. No, it is up to you. Just like we are trying to find a flight tracker that's affordable and finding a hotel or a rental car, whatever you need. It's not as glamorous, I think, as people probably assume it is, but I'm just glad I'm not an umpire. I don't want to sweat my ass off in the middle of July as I try to not get hit by a 98-mile-an-hour slider that's coming right down the pipe. I don't want anything to do with that.
If you never had to rotate throughout the diamond, it's probably second base or third base is the best spot to umpire, right? First base, too many bang-bang plays at first base. Behind the plate, every call is going to be questioned if it's not a clear-cut strike. But what are you really doing at third base? Fair foul, oh, he's out on a stolen base or he's safe. Second base, you're largely just standing there. Mm-hmm. I mean, what, maybe looking for box. There's a couple double plays a game. That's about it. So, yeah, I did the same thing, Declan. I did Little League Baseball as well. And parents ruin it for everybody.
Oh, that's just, parents
that's,
are awful.
That's the easy way to do it. And even as a Little League umpire, you want to be on the bases and not behind home plate.
I'm with you there. I hear you. All right, Score North Extra Innings right here on the Score North Twins YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button here. We'll have select updates on the road trip here against the White Sox coming up. We'll have content for you at the majority of Twins home games too. So we appreciate everyone getting us over 2,600 subscribers. So thank you to the, thank you for you guys for hitting that subscribe button, hitting the like button on the Apple or on the Spotify or the Score North app side. You can also leave us a review. It helps kind of spread the word too. So we'll be back. That's Ross Brendel. I'm Declan Goff. This has been Score North Extra Innings. We'll be chatting at you soon.